I'm going to share a story with you here. As you know, the Lord has pointed out things to us concerning the direction of the nation following the King of Babylon's overthrow, which has just happened, and concerning Cyrus and what he had to do with changing the nation. So let's go to Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1. And Belshazzar, the king, who was the last king, the king that was overthrown, the king who tried to push the moon god on Babylon, and they didn't appreciate it. He was unpopular because of that. And, of course, Cyrus came along, and he got rid of the moon god. The moon god, of course, is on all the Muslim flags because that's where they came from. That's literally where they came from. So Belshazzar the king made a great feast unto 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines might drink therefrom. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God. Now we know that the temple of the house of God today is God's people. And the vessels of the temple are us. And of course, his abuse of the vessels of God's house represents our recent king of Babylon, his abuse of Christianity. And the drunkenness here, drinking of the wine, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and we know that Jesus' body and blood was incorporated into the Lord's Supper, and wine was used for the blood. Okay? And so, partaking of their lives here, you know, he's talking about abusing their lives, you know. The life of the flesh is in the blood, the drink. They were, Babylon, as you know in the Bible, was guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets. And, of course, they had plans to go a lot further than what they did, and that's why they're kicking so hard now, is because they had lots and lots of plans to destroy Christianity in America and overthrow it with Islam, the moon god. So they were getting drunk here, okay? And the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. And in that same hour came forth the finger of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. So, if we turn over, we can see down through the chapter that, of course, the advice he got was to go for Daniel, let Daniel come and interpret the writing on the wall. But the king was terrified, of course, when he saw the writing on the wall. He saw the part of the hand that wrote, and then the king's countenance was changed in him, and his thoughts troubled him, and the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. I believe Obama did see the writing on the wall. And so if we go down to the writing in verse 25, and this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, for far, you far seen. For as thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And of course, the head of the Medes and the Persians was Cyrus. Even though he put Darius on the throne in Babylon itself to rule there, it was Cyrus's army, and it was Cyrus was the king. Okay. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Well, under that particular kingdom, that only lasted for a night, because then it says, in the night Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Very interesting. Now, I'll point this out to you, especially in the book of Ezra, and in Daniel 2. The kingdom was still called Babylon, even though it was ruled over by Cyrus and Darius. It was called Babylon even after that, and Cyrus was called the king of Babylon. So Babylon is still around. You know, we've given many teachings about Babylon, the utter destruction of Babylon at the end of the tribulation period, much like the book of Revelation talks about the 10 kings destroying the harlot of Babylon at the end of the tribulation period. Okay? So, but Babylon's still here, and it's still going to be destroyed at the end of the tribulation period. This destruction here is removing an entity that's in the United States. Babylon is going to be destroyed. The United States is not going to be destroyed. Babylon is a spiritual entity. It's one that we can come out of. We're told to come out of her, right? And, of course, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We can't leave the world, right? And the world actually is larger Babylon. So, just wanted you to understand that, you know, that there is going to be a destruction of this Babylon that's ruled over by the king of Babylon, who was the one who pushed the moon god and brought in the Arabs and all this. In fact, that's all written in the scriptures, and I'll share it with you. So let's go to Jeremiah 51. I'm going to start reading here, and we're going to see some things. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in Lebkameah, a destroying wind. And I believe this destroying wind is the spirit, because the word here for wind and spirit is the same. And there is a spirit blowing through the land, if you noticed, and it is switching the land back to its more conservative roots. Even the Democrats were more conservative than the Republicans are nowadays, years back. But it's become the party of criminality now, as we can see. From the very top on down, there's a lot of criminal actions that have all been revealed, and God's going to continue to do that. So, and of course, the Republicrats, you know, share the blame. They're hired by Soros, and apparently owned by him. And they share a lot of the blame, too. So we're not just picking sides here. And I will send unto Babylon strangers that shall winnow her. They shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. And, of course, that is true in more ways than one. There's many enemies. The Bible says, as we go on, that the nations were mad because of what America has done to the world, stirred up wars all around. Our past president there, Obama, is the only two-term president that's been at wars of his own making for every day of his two terms. And he got the Nobel Peace Prize. So that just lets you know how much credibility that has. Against him that bendeth the archer, it's against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow. And against him that lifteth himself up in his coat of mail, and spare ye not her young men. destroy ye utterly all her host. These are, of course, all the people that defended Babylon as that entity, that were a part of that entity. Of course, inside that entity, taken captive, was God's people, you see. And along comes Cyrus with an army to conquer this entity in the United States. And when he takes it over, it's still called Babylon, but he is in control. And that's what we're seeing with Cyrus. We know that the Bible codes have, you know, very well proven that Cyrus is Trump in our day. And they shall fall down slain in the land of the Chaldeans and thrust through in her streets. For Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah of his God. This is why God has done this, is he hasn't forsaken his people that are in Babylon, both individual Babylon in the United States and corporate worldwide Babylon. He's got his people, right? And he hasn't forsaken them. And there is a move going across the world, much like is it happening here. So we praise God for that, and we need to keep it up, and we need to keep doing that spiritual warfare to make sure it continues and bears fruit, right? Of the Lord of hosts, and through the, though their land is full of guilt against the Holy One of Israel. Israel, representing God's people today, Christianity, they're guilty against the Lord. Their land is full of guilt against the Lord. But, as you can see, God has decided to have mercy. He hasn't forgotten his people. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and save every man his life, and be not cut off in her iniquity. Well, we're told the same thing in the book of Revelation. Come out of her, my people. Don't be a partaker of her sins, or you'll be a partaker in her judgments, right? So that's what we do. We're coming out of what this entity is. This entity was defended and overcome by the Democrats, the Muslims, the leftists of all kinds, the communists, etc., the Democratic Party, and all that's coming down, as you can see. The false prophet media, all that's been coming down. I think they have a 6% approval rating now. That's unimaginable, you know, just a little while back. But when those demons come in, you get goofy, right? For it is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. The Lord is recompensing these people who have swallowed up his people and persecuted his people. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. Yes, and as you can see, if you read Jeremiah 25, the nations that are mentioned there that Babylon overthrew is the same nations they just overthrew. Yes, are the same nations in the Middle East. He brought destruction to all of them. There was no need for it except for just plain greed. And the fact that our president was a Muslim and wanted to conquer the world with Islam. And some of you don't believe that, but it's borne out in the facts, you know. And even supporting ISIS and so on, or starting ISIS and supporting ISIS and sending them hardware and giving them military equipment is what they did. And they plan to do it here, too. Babylon has suddenly fallen and destroyed. Thank God. By the grace of God, this entity is being destroyed. Wail for her and take balm for her pain, if so be that she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go everyone to his own country. And, of course, we've had so many prophecies and revelations from the Lord about God's people returning to his land. Returning from what? Bondage to Babylon. And who is it that sent them back to their land and even supported them and even financed them and so on and so forth? It was Cyrus, the one who conquered Babylon. Amen. We're at our Red Sea here, folks. The people at the Red Sea had just come out of Egypt. They'd come out of bondage in Egypt to go to their promised land. And the Lord in the scriptures parallels that coming out of Egypt with the coming out of Babylon of those that have been in bondage to this left wing, vast left wing conspiracy. Let us go everyone to his own country. In other words, go abide in the city of God, the cities of Israel, spiritually speaking, I'm talking about the New Testament kingdom of God. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Very interesting. In this deliverance from Babylon, the captivity that we experienced under several kings, okay, just like it was in Babylon, the experience is they're going to go to Zion. Zion, of course, is the bride. Zion is who their capital city was. Zion was the one that ruled over them with David ruling over Zion. So you can see where we're headed here. Okay. Make sharp the arrows and hold firm the shields. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple, meaning the vengeance upon them for how they treated his temple, right? Set up a standard against the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong, set the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord hath both purposed and done that which he spake concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. Prepare the ambushes. Now, I know I've probably shared with you that the word for ambushes here is the word Arab, the Hebrew word Arab. And it means lurk, lie in wait for. Okay, that's why it's called ambushes here. Very interesting, huh? The Lord kind of hid that in there. And, of course, that's who's here, you know, ready to ambush in this country, the people of God, Americans, so on and so forth. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, oh, that's America, thine end is come, the measure of thy covetousness. Yes, Americans are very covetous. Things are more important than God. Many, many idols in America, right? Yep. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with the cankerworm, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. Yes, and that's, they're here. And if you remember, the cankerworm was the army. It was likened to the cankerworm in Joel chapter 2. And the army that came into the country and invaded the country, once it was a threat to the bride, God smote it. When the bride spoke up, when the bride defended the people of God, when they cried out to God, he heard, just like he heard Esther, the bride, when the people of God were threatened in the book of Esther. And at that time, of course, same as this, the cankerworm was smitten, right? So we see the parallel there. And they shall lift up a shout against thee. Yes, they are totally against us. They have rioted. They have burned housing down. They've burned cities down. And, of course, everybody got the blame except the people that actually did it, right? And the people that were paid to do it obviously had, you know, elite people praying them to do that. And but it was a larger group, and you're not going to hear about all of them, obviously. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom. And by his understanding hath he stretched out the heavens. And when he uttered his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens. And he caused the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasuries. The Lord is omnipotent, is what he's saying. Every judgment comes from him, right? Every man is become brutish. Oh, that's absolutely true, and even true of much of the church, right? And is without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his image. They've made gods that cannot save. Even the Christians have gods that cannot save. They have false gods that they give the name of God to, but really are actually Baal, so on and so forth. The dragon, Babylon's god, one of Babylon's gods, right? And we know who the dragon is from Revelation chapter 12, right? For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. The northern ten tribes, they made a molten image and worshipped it as the Lord, as though, and gave it his name, but it wasn't him, and it couldn't save, and it couldn't deliver, and of course that's why they're put to shame, is their God can't save them. And what's happening in America? Their God can't save them. They have gone into Satanism, they've sacrificed babies to have power, and they thought that power would save them in this election, and it didn't. They are vanity, a work of delusion. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. Well, now we know that the Lord called Cyrus his shepherd, and that he was hiding in Cyrus, and he visited with Cyrus, and at the same time, the man-child. Okay, he visited. And we know what this visitation is. It's all through the Bible. A lot of times it came with earthquakes. The number of times is phenomenal that the visitation was with earthquakes. And we've already studied that, so we know all that's on its way. They shall perish, that is, the false gods. There's going to be a lot of people turning to the Lord because of the failure of their gods to save them. And of course, it's happening already, but it's going to happen a lot more. And the portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the former of all things. In other words, Jacob's God, that's what he's calling his portion. He is before all things, and all things were created through him, right? And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. Now notice this. These are the people who are in captivity in Babylon. They had no physical or political power, just like the Christians in the time of Obama. No political power. They had nobody to listen to them, nobody to represent them. But he's saying that they're the real power here. How can that be? They didn't have weapons. Even when Cyrus took over, they didn't have weapons, you know? So what kind of power could they possibly have? Because he says they're bringing down Babylon. Who was it that brought down the dragon? Was it the angels of God in Revelation chapter 12? No, it wasn't. They did the physical work, but they overcame him. Because of the word of their testimony, because they love not their life unto death, because of the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him. The saints overcame him. Today, who's ruling in this nation? It's the saints. I'm not talking about the ain'ts. I'm talking about the saints. That's the sanctified ones. These people are filled with the Spirit of God. They have power. They know authority. They know faith. They know that they've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. and authority to bind their kings with chains, as in Psalm 149. This honor have all of his saints. Saints. And there's many that aren't sanctified because they think more of their idols, including their self as an idol, than they do of submitting to the Word of God and believing the Word of God and believing they are who they... So who was it in the book of Esther that actually was considered a saint, that exercised authority and God heard? Well, it was the bride. It was the bride. He heard the bride, the King of Kings, Ahasuerus, who represented our King of Kings. He heard the bride and destroyed the works of Haman. Amen. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. With thee will I break in pieces the nations. With thee will I destroy kingdoms. So, he is bringing down kingdoms right now, just like he did with Esther. Those kingdoms of the world that were under Ahasuerus, they came down. The people in them that hated and ruled over God's people, that came down. Authority was given to God's people to slay their enemies through the decree that was gained through Ahasuerus, that was given through Esther and the man-child, Mordecai. That came down. Keep praying for these kingdoms out here, folks. We're going to have a reprieve for about 3.5 years where there's a revival and a raising up of the church. So keep praying, exercising your authority. You are God's battle axe and weapons of war. With thee will I break in pieces the nations. With thee will I destroy kingdoms. You know, the man-child comes overthrowing thrones, you know. With thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. This could be talking about judgments that are coming upon the world. For God's people, these can be broken. We know in Revelation chapter 6, these horse riders represent flesh being moved by certain spirits, you know, to bring certain destruction in the world. And praise God, God's people are going to learn how to live out from under that. And his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot, and him that rideth thereon, therein, and with thee will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces the old man and the youth, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the virgin, with thee will I break in pieces the shepherd and its flock. You know, everybody's got to be broken. You know, we need to fall on the rock, or lest the rock fall on us. And some people have to be broken with the rock falling on them. And when we speak the gospel to someone, we're breaking that kingdom. We're plundering the devil's kingdom. We've been called to go out and plunder. Jesus bound the strong man, and he's given us authority to go out and plunder. We do that with the gospel. We do it with authority. We do it by binding the demons, so on and so forth. With thee will I break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of iron. His yoke of oxen, excuse me. And with thee will I break in pieces governors and deputies. Yes, and it's happening, isn't it? We received a revelation recently that we are supposed to command the angels and send them forth to rout out all the Babylonians that are in the government and replace them with others who are faithful to Cyrus. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Well, it's happening, and you must not give up now. The battle has just begun. We're still at the Red Sea, right? And with thee will I break in pieces governors and deputies, and I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all the evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. Oh boy, is the evil ever present? Is it? There was so much corruption revealed. It's astounding. But these people, when they've got demons, they don't even know how to blush. They can't even be ashamed. They've got no conscience. It's the same with the faction that's in the church. No conscience. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, says the Lord, which destroyest all the earth. Yes, he is against that kingdom, that mountain of Babylon that has destroyed all the earth. It is so true. The nations know it, and they're mad. They've drunken of their cup that Babylon has given, back in verse 7, and they're mad. They've had to, they destroyed not just people, but whole nations. You know, they took away many allies that the United States had and destroyed them. And I will stretch out my hand upon thee and will roll thee down from the rocks, and I will make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations. All of that's got to get rooted out. We can't take any of that with this kingdom. Everything's got to change. All of the people, all of the leadership, all of the people on the inside who are sticking their head up regularly to speak against it, and then they get fired. I mean, a good portion of the top end of the State Department, you know, who was hired by the Obama administration, they're gone. They all feared for their lives that they were going to be prosecuted and quit quickly. And that's good. Others are doing the same thing. That's good. We don't want any of that foundation left. Remember the dream we had about the foundation and the banksters and the gangsters that were guilty of blood getting in on the foundation, and we discovered, okay, if that happens, we're lost. So you have to fight against that. Nothing for the foundation of this new kingdom. Set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mene, Ashkenaz. Appoint a marshal against her. Cause the horses to come up as the rough cankerworm. There it is again. The rough cankerworm. And you know, the cankerworm, you know, conquered until getting to the bride. And then everything got turned around then. Because the Lord wasn't going to let Haman stumble over the bride and get away with it. Prepare against her the nations, the kings of the Medes, the governors thereof, and all the deputies thereof, and all the land of their dominion. And the land trembled and is in pain, and for the purpose of the Lord is against Babylon do stand, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. Well, amen. Clean out the place, saints. You know, you're the battle axe. You win this battle. You clean them out. You hear, you have authority to do it. You're seeing it in the Word right now, if you can see. The mighty man of Babylon have forborne to fight. They remain in their strongholds. These are the people. They have no strength left. They lost their military that they were using to conquer the world for Islam. Yeah, right. They lost their military. They lost their leadership. They lost the confidence of the people. The people fled, you know, from the Democrats and the Republicrats. And they've got a bad name now, really bad. They remain in their strongholds. Their might hath failed. They are become as women. Their dwelling places are set on fire. Her bars are broken. That's true. I mean, God, you know, enabled Cyrus to come in underneath the bars that went across the Euphrates River, his army, and go through the gates on both sides of the river, big double-doored gates all the way down the side of the river, and they were unlocked. They were so confident that they couldn't come in by the river, But they drained the river temporarily, momentarily, just enough for their army to go in underneath the bars, and then, of course, the river came back up. But it was too late. They were in the city. And, Lord, we just thank you for opening the bars. All the bars that they're trying to use to keep Cyrus and his army out, Lord, we thank you that they're wide open. We confess it. We command the angels to go forth and do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all agree with me and keep on fighting, okay? One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken on every quarter. Too late. And the passages are seized, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. Yep, they just gave up. They took the city without a battle. Can you imagine? And thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like the threshing floor at the time when it is trodden. Yet a little while, and the time of harvest shall come for her. You know there's a great harvest going to happen here. As soon as people see the fullness of what God is doing, he's going to reveal this to people, that he is the God that did this, that Islam could not stand up against him. And a lot of people in Islam are going to realize that too. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. It was Nebuchadnezzar who brought them into this Babylonish kingdom. And now we're down to the last king of this particular entity of Babylon. He devoured them. He devoured the people of God, brought them in. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath, like a monster, swallowed me up. He hath filled his maw with my delicacies. He hath cast me out. Well, amen. That's what happened. And the people of God are swallowed up. They can't do any physical warfare against their enemy, but they do have the power to use everything to bring down this enemy. And they empower Cyrus. Oh, yeah, I know they're blaming the Russians, but no. It's the people of God that they need to worry about. He hath filled his maw with my delicacies. He hath cast me out. The violence, by the way, word violence, I believe here and also verse 46 is Hamas. Hamas. It starts with a C, kind of a silent C, and it's spelled Hamas. Violence. Did you know in Florida they busted this mosque down there that was filled with weapons and so on and so forth, and it was a Hamas training ground there, so on and so forth. Isn't this amazing? Yeah, and of course Obama has bought mosques all across this nation and all across the Middle East for these people. He's given trillions away. He has destroyed the economy. Okay. But God can fix it. Yeah, as we'll see, God can fix it. The violence done to me and to my flesh, that's the people of God speaking, be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say. And my blood be upon the inhabitant of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. So they're guilty of the blood of the saints. And they have crucified Zion, the bride. They have crucified. Not unto death, but unto death of self. Right? So when God uses a vessel of dishonor to bring you to the end of yourself, that's a good thing in his eyes. But the vessel that he used to crucify you, that's time for it to get its judgment. When it's through doing its work upon the people of God, then they're freed, and God turns his hand upon the crucifier. That's his habit. Isaiah chapter 10 is a good example of that. He even speaks of it in that way. So, saints, don't worry. Just keep on fighting the good fight of the faith, right? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. Well, he says the same thing about drying up the Red Sea to God, for God's people to be able to flee on dry ground. He might often compares the Red Sea destruction of Pharaoh's army and deliverance of God's people to Babylon. Okay, because it's the same thing. We're at our Red Sea here now, and Pharaoh and his army are being destroyed. And all you got to do is take one look at the vote map with all that red on it, and you understand what's happening. Okay? And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for jackals. You know, jackals destroy their own young. They devour their own young. And the faction that's in, that's going through the nation right now is the same as the faction that's in the church. They destroyed their own young. It's astounding how little regard they have for their own children, spiritual and physical. They destroy them. Jackals. An astonishment and a hissing without inhabitant. They shall roar together like young lions. They shall growl as lions' whelps. When they are heated, I will make their feast. I will make them drunken. Okay, so we noticed, you know, that the last king and all of his lords and his mighty men and all of his concubines and wives and so on and so forth, they were getting drunk. Good thing to do when the enemy's at the gate, right? Get drunk. So they all got drunk. And the Lord tells us here, he said, I will make them drunken that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, says the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with he-goats. Well, you know, Belshazzar and his feast is very much like the drunken leadership. They talked like they were drunk. They thought like they were drunk. They were out of touch with reality, out of touch with the people like they were drunk. The media went out there and stuck mics under these crazy people's mouths like they're great people, trying to prove to everybody how right they were. But the overwhelming majority of Americans looked at that and said, they're crazy. They were so out of touch with reality, they thought people would agree with them, for goodness sake. You know? While they destroyed people's property and talked about killing people, assassinating Trump, all these things are against the law. And I wish we need to pray that the laws that are on the book will be enforced concerning these people, these anarchists and these communists, and the destroying of property, and their words that they put up there about overthrowing the country, all that's illegal. That'll put you under the jail. The laws, in fact, we'll post it on the front of the site. This law is something that is in effect right now. They need to use it. How is Shishak taken, and the praise of the whole earth seized? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? The sea is come up upon Babylon. How interesting. How many prophecies we have about that. Before this is over, folks, the sea is going to come up upon Babylon. I'm not talking about just the armies that are conquering the Medes. I mean, conquering the Babylonians. I'm talking about the sea is going to come up. And because of Planet X and all these things, we know that. Many prophecies. In fact, if I can get through this, I'm going to share some of those with you. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. So this is one of those things that can be a very easily a double prophecy. Her cities are become a desolation, a dry land, and a desert. You know what happens when sea water comes up on the land? Nothing grows there. It becomes a desert, you know. You know, when I was down in Pensacola, I've spoken to people before how that when the hurricanes came in and picked up all the water that came in off the Gulf and dropped it on the land, that there were trees that just died. They just died. And some of them pretty fast, too. Pine trees don't hold up good at all to salt water. They brown out real quick, and they don't come back. A land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any man, any son of man, pass thereby. And I will execute judgment upon Bel in Babylon. Bel, by the way, is one of the gods of Babylon. It was Bel the dragon. And if you look in the apocryphal books, there's a book called Daniel and the Dragon or Daniel and the Serpent. Okay, they use it either way. Bel was the dragon in Babylon. And guess what the dragon wanted to do? Devour, just as we've just got through reading, the people of God. And it tried to devour the man-child. And the dragon is the old serpent, Satan. And who conquered? With the help of the angels, which we've been told to send forth. Who conquered the dragon? The people of God in Revelation chapter 12. They conquered it. The angels were doing the physical battling, but the people of God were the ones who sent forth with faith, exercised their authority, and cast down Satan. Just as they cast down Bel here, who is the dragon. And by the way, that's an interesting revelation if you ever get to read in the apocryphal books about Daniel and the dragon. How he destroyed the dragon. It's good. It's a good parable. Just like the dreams we get, you know, it's good. It doesn't come up to every letter being perfect and in its perfect order like the Bible. They used to have it in the Bible, but it's been removed. The Catholics had it in the apocryphal books that they put in there, but there's no numeric pattern in it that makes it exact and perfect like the rest of the Bible. So it really doesn't belong there. It's a good revelation, though. Shepherd of Hermas was in there, too, and it's a really good revelation. Really good revelation. Be like your dream, so. I mean, not every letter is perfect and so on and so forth. The receiver is not so totally controlled that every letter is in a perfect numeric pattern, like the rest of the Bible. Okay. And the serpent was cast down in Revelation chapter 12. So here it is. You're looking at it. And I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up. Amen. Swallowed up means become a part of its body. If a dragon swallows you, you are then a part of its body. Okay. And if they had been able to swallow the man-child, which they couldn't, like Herod, who sent forth to kill Jesus and killed a lot of his brethren, but missed him. And same type, same shadow, right? And the nations shall not flow any more unto him. Well, the nations have been very obedient to Obama and his administration and the administrations before him that were a part of the dragon, but not anymore. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. That means been conquered. Cyrus is coming in, you know. My peoples, go ye out of the midst of her. And God is saying the same thing. Come out of her. Save yourselves, every man, from the fierce anger of the Lord. And let not your heart faint, neither fear ye for the tidings that shall be heard in the land. For tidings shall come 1 year, and after that in another year shall come tidings, and violence in the land. Ruler against ruler. We are still seeing that. Okay, still at the Red Sea, still at the similar place in Babylon, the conquering, okay, ruler against ruler. And by the way, you have the authority of God to cast down these rulers of Babylon. Their time is up. Okay. And all the government that they supported and put in there and all of the damage that they did, you've got authority against it. Because Cyrus, when he came in, he reversed all of that. He kicked out the moon god and he restored them to prosperity. And so on. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will execute judgment upon the graven images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. You can see how many dead people are sticking up for Babylon. They're dead on their feet, you know. Have you noticed? They're just as nutty as a fruitcake. And a lot of them are government people are gravitating over to the far west or far left of the country, which God is prepared to crack off in the ocean. So come out from among them. That's all blue territory over there, by the way, the far left side of California. It's just like New Orleans. It was the same way, prepared to be destroyed, prepared to gather together a people to get rid of them. And it happened. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for joy over Babylon, for the destroyers shall come unto her from the north, says the Lord. Of course, Cyrus did come from the north and they conquered them. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the land. Amen. And it's interesting, you know, how Cyrus did fight some battles before he got to the city of Babylon, and he won those battles. And, of course, before Trump went into office, he fought some battles, quite a few, and he won those battles. And then, all of a sudden, he has now control over the city. All right? And we need to pray for him to use the laws that are there and to have wisdom and to be sent counselors and to be sent lawyers and to be sent people that can show him how to do this. Ye that have escaped the sword, go ye, stand not still, remember the Lord from afar, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. Oh my goodness, how many times have we received that the people will come out of the nations and run to Zion. This is the people going into the wilderness, the people going to the promised land, the people going back to Israel, going to the cities of Israel, so on and so forth. They're fleeing Babylon. They're going back to their land, standing on the promises, and so on and so forth. This is what's about to happen, saints. We're confounded. And by the way, they're going to Jerusalem because that's the bride. That's who they're under. That's their capital city. She has authority, just like Esther did. And the man-child, David, Mordecai was the man-child David in that case. And they ruled, and they gave authority to the people to stand for their lives. And you have that authority now to stand for your lives. It's a Purim. Take down the enemies, the people that have wanted, have warred against you. Take them down. You have authority. This is the Purim. Do it. And any of them you can save, do that too. That's preferable. Even Obama and Hillary, we would love to see them get saved because, boy, they'd have a witness that's beyond, you know, it's just awesome. They'd have an awesome witness. These are mass murderers. I mean, they would have an awesome witness, even more than the Apostle Paul. Paul was just playing in the sandbox compared to these people, right? So pray for them to be saved. But also pray for them and their authority to be destroyed. All of their authority to be destroyed. We're confounded because we have heard reproach. Confusion hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Okay, we also have a problem with the church. there are Babylonians at the heads of a lot of the church and in a lot of the church. These are Babylonians. They don't belong to our system. They belong to theirs. Yes. Okay. Remember the dragon that tried to devour the man-child. What part of the dragon? Well, it was the factious. Yes. They're part of the dragon. I'm not saying they can't repent and come out of her. They certainly can, but they're part of the dragon. They've been devoured by the dragon. It's all that criticism and anger and frustration and deception and lying and on and on and on and on and on. You know, that's all part of the dragon, not part of God's house. These are strangers. They come into God's house, and the people there haven't got sense enough to know it because they don't read their Bible. And if they do read it, they don't know what it says. And wherefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will execute judgment upon her graven images. And through all of her land, the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall destroyers come unto her, says the Lord. Thank you, Father. From me shall destroyers come unto her, saith the Lord. The Lord sent Trump. The Lord sent Cyrus. Amen? And as we said at the Red Sea, there was a change of the Pharaoh at the Red Sea, because it ain't like the movie. Pharaoh died in the Red Sea. And a new Pharaoh ruled over Egypt. And there was also a new man-child there. So you had a new Pharaoh and a new man-child to take God's people into the wilderness. Yet from me, I'm not talking about the new Moses, obviously, was the man-child who had come into that authority and now was going to bring God's people through the wilderness. And the Babylonians can't do that. The strangers in the camp, they can't do that. They don't have that authority. They don't have any authority. From me shall destroyers come unto her, says the Lord. The sound of a cry from Babylon and of great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. For the Lord layeth Babylon waste and destroyeth out of her the great voice, and their waves roar like many waters. There is a great voice. Yep, we just lost the great voice. He had a slick, smooth tongue, but he was a deceiver and was sent here to destroy Christianity. And their waves roar like many waters, and the noise of their voice is uttered. For the destroyer is come upon her, even upon Babylon. Destroyer, of course, is like the waves that we just talked about. That covered the nation, covered the shores, and so on and so forth. The destroyer, of course, has been known as Planet X, Nibiru. And, of course, you can say it's the army, too, if you want. The destroyer is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, and their bows are broken in pieces. There it is again. For the Lord is a God of recompenses. He will surely requite. He is bringing down that Babylonish entity. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men and her governors and her deputies and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake. There's their drunk just before getting conquered, right? Saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly overthrown. Yes, they thought they would keep the enemy out, but they did not. And her high gates shall be burned with fire. And the peoples labor for vanity, and the nations for the fire, and they shall be weary. Well, amen. They are weary. Okay? And I'm going to share a little text with you here, too, that we've received here recently in our morning meeting by faith at random. Isaiah 47. Let me read a piece of that to you. Verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and grind meal. Remove thy veil, strip off the train, uncover the leg, and pass through the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. For goodness sake, how much shame can people have and still even stick their head up in public? The only people that respect that are the same kind of sinners. They were caught in every kind of debauchery with the emails and everything that you can imagine. And the deepest sinners of all, murdering children, you know, raping people and having their sex island out there, molesting children, and flying back and forth on a plane to their fun trips. That's fun to them, you know. Oh, gosh, man. This is so sickening to see what they have done to this country. Anybody that sticks their head up, they kill them. Anybody that speaks against them, they kill them. Anybody that catches them in their homosexuality, they kill them, you know. Anybody that knows about them, before they can open their mouth, they kill them. Sacrificing them to Satan is what they're doing. I will take vengeance and will spare no man. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the mistress of kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I profaned my inheritance and gave them into thy hand. He did. He ordained Mr. Obama. He sent him to do this job. He has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. The people didn't care, didn't think that morality counted for much. But you can't put a Muslim in any office over unbelievers in Islam without him lying to them, because that's what they're supposed to do. You can't shame him for that. That's a badge of honor among them. They also have permission in their Quran to lie to husbands and wives if it furthers their kingdom. It doesn't matter. The lying is part of that. They lie to everybody. You can't vet them, because they don't have enough information on these people. I mean, you can't ask them questions because they're going to lie to you. How can you vet them, you know? So what Trump is doing is right. I mean, this is the only thing you can do. If you can't vet them, you can't let them in. Okay? Otherwise, they are here to destroy. They've destroyed every nation that they've ever invaded. Yeah. Look what's happening in Europe. It's like these people can't see. Then the people that can see, the devil wants to rail and lie and so on and so forth, like they did to Trump. He can see what's going on there. Anybody with common sense can see what's going on there. It's an invasion. They're destroying themselves, and they're too busy trying to placate the Muslims and destroy their own people. That's demons. Demons took them over. This is faction. The most factious people on the face of the earth are Muslims. On the other hand, when they get saved, they're awesome. They're awesome, you know? So pray for that, saints. There's going to be a lot of killing here, and a lot of people are going to lose their lives. A lot of Muslim nations are going to have nukes going off in them and things like that. But when they cry out to God, the God is going to answer. And it's already happened to many of them. They cry out to God, and guess who answers? Yeah. the mistress of the kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I profaned mine inheritance and gave them into thy hand, and thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the aged hast thou very, very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidst, I shall be a mistress forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end thereof. Now, therefore, hear this, thou that art given to pleasures. Oh my gosh, when they get in a position of leadership, they are totally taken over by a desire for pleasures. They will rip you off. They will steal from you, as they did. They will get rich, and you wonder, how did they come up with all this money? They didn't go into office with all this money. Yes. They have plundered the nation that sitteth securely, that saith in thy heart, I am, and there is none else besides me. They really don't have any respect for anybody or anything. They'll cater to anybody that'll give them money. But I shall not sit as widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. In their full measure shall they come upon thee in the multitude of thy sorceries. Witchcraft is the main consort with Jezebel and with the faction. Witchcraft, sorceries, same word. And the great abundance of thine enchantments. Oh yes, they did all this. And yet, this time, their God didn't hear. As long as God was permitting them to chasten his people for their rebellion, it was fine. But when he decided to have mercy, they weren't heard. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. You remember? Transparency. Obama said he was going in there, it's going to be the most transparent. He was the most untransparent. He was hiding everything, including himself and his wife, if you can call her that. None seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am, and there is none else besides me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know the dawning thereof. And mischief shall fall upon thee, and thou shalt not be able to put it away. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou knowest not. And it goes on to talk about their stargazers and their prognosticators and all these people that gave them their wisdom. They failed. All of them, the wise men of Babylon, they failed them. That's verse 13. The merchants of Babylon in verse 15. They were making merchandise of all the people in America, and they didn't know it. They weren't up there for the betterment of America. They were up there to destroy and to loot and to plunder America. Because they want a one world order, and America stands too independent to have a one world order for the sake of the banksters. And so they had a plan to destroy America and plunder it. And now they're wondering, what is going on? God has made some changes here. Isn't that awesome? Well, let me share a couple things with you here. I'm going to share this for just a moment because there's some confirmations of what I just said here. George Washington's vision. Let me just read a piece of it to you. You know, George was given a vision of three wars on American soil. The first two came to pass perfectly. Probably pointing out to you that the third part will come to pass perfectly too. And the third one has started. Again, I'm only giving you a portion of it here. So, again, I heard the mysterious voice saying, Son of the Republic, look and learn, speaking to George. At this, The dark, shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his mouth and blew three distinct blasts. And taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it upon Europe, Asia, and Africa. Okay. That's a similar place, a familiar place, you know. And that's exactly, you know, God has brought a jihadist invasion from these places to make war, especially against the Christians and the Jews, and in the U.S. now, Europe, Asia, and Africa, Middle East, Asia, and Africa, right? And then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these continents arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one. And throughout this mass there gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men. These men, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America, which country was enveloped in the volume of cloud. And I dimly saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities which I had seen springing up. Well, as you know, they started doing this, exactly this, and the Christians, you know, cried out to the Lord and exercised their authority and put a stop to it. Now, I'm not saying it's all totally over. That's up to the Lord. But we saw it happening. And we know who bankrolled it. Soros bankrolled quite a bit of that. He hired the people and so on. And this makes him the traitor that they need to do something about. So you need to do something about it, right? And I remember a prophet friend of mine in Florida, Eastern Florida, who shared a vision that he had with me many years ago. He said that the Lord took me to the streets of America, and I saw all the cities on fire. We have 8 million Muslims in America. It's more than that now. Back then it was that. Of course, this is a comment he's making. And when the war breaks out in the Holy Land, and when America gets involved, 8 million Muslims will burn America to the ground. I think it's more than that now. So, but that was his comment about his vision that he had about the Muslims burning America down. He also spoke of many people being butchered, as we've also seen in dreams. He said, I saw from Kissimmee, Florida, to Miami underwater. Then the Lord showed me portable buildings stacked like a train, all connected together. The buildings were full of people with legs and arms missing. You know, when they like to make their move is when there's some kind of a disruption, some kind of confusion, some kind of war going on. Then under cover of darkness, they do this, you know. And the buildings were full of people with legs and arms missing. I ran into the buildings and there was no end to the buildings. How could a flood cut off limbs? Could this water be Planet X, as in the ancient times, at the time of an invasion of jihadists who are famous for cutting off limbs, etc.? We have a revelation from a couple here that saw a city with the Muslims going through it, cutting off limbs and butchering the people. And Charlie and Linda Smith, brother and sister, both had almost the same dream in one night that they saw this. And we know it. They have really good dreams, so we know that it's the word of the Lord. It's like when the enemy comes in like a flood, right? So I believe this third war Washington saw has already started with the Islamic jihadist invasion into the United States from the Middle East, Asia, Africa. Some of them stop off in Europe and come from there, okay, for the purpose of making war on the people and making this a Muslim nation. ISIS has streamed into the U.S. by plane, a boat, and across the southern border, as the Border Patrol was forbidden by Obama to detain them under threat of job forfeiture. And, of course, they come across the northern border, too. So they've just come in here. Obama opened the doors wide. And I remember a video by Avi Lipkin from March 26, 2015, that speaks of Muslim radio stations repeating the Saudi demand to make America a Muslim nation. By the way, they demanded this, according to these people, of Obama. That's right, and it's plain. You know, of course, Avi's wife is an interpreter of Muslim radio stations for the Jews. And she knows exactly what they're talking about, and that's the plan. And they know about it, but we don't hear much about that. And the plan was to bring tens of millions of Muslims into the United States to overcome the United States, make the United States a Muslim nation. And the Saudis, the same people whose people were used at 9-1-1, have the most virulent form of Islam, dangerous form of Islam. While they act like your friends, they're doing 9-1-1 things. Okay? And, of course, unscreened Muslims have flooded into the United States with Muslim Obama's permission by over 100,000 a year, not including those who are coming over the border. Many don't understand the sovereignty of God. He's the God who works all things after the counsel of His own will and works all things together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. So, He's the one we got to please. People think we got to do something about this. No, you have to repent and you have to please the Lord or you won't have any authority to do anything about this. He has to change his mind. So many, of course, don't understand when I say God ordained our president to chasten the rebellious church to bring many to repentance through the fear of the Lord. Without this threat, no doubt there wouldn't have been a lot of people praying, or would they be very worried or whatever, you know. Many would not bear fruit and be saved. I believe Obama has brought more people to repentance and salvation than all the lukewarm preachers could ever do, because they saw what he was doing. Anybody that can't's blind. So pray for him. You know, just like you're commanded to pray for your leaders, right? Pray for him. Pray for them. They'll make great witnesses. And ISIS is in the U.S. by their own admission, and they're planning attacks by their own admission. Al-Qaeda's here too. And other Islamic jihadists are here to make war. Just as the Obama administration used them in the Middle East, he was planning on using them here. Right? And there, I have a link somewhere it's on our site. A woman witnessed that large buses with whited out windows were coming over the border with Homeland Security and its logo on the side of them. She decided to follow them and waited till they stopped, and when the driver got out, she went and talked to the driver, who told her that he was transporting Muslims to cities in the United States. They were brought straight across the border, unscreened. Okay. There's been a traitor in the White House. Actually, he's not a traitor to his own people. He's a traitor to America. And he has no loyalty to America. He has loyalty to Islam. And ISIS claims it can smuggle nuclear weapons through Nigeria and Mexico into the United States. You study the Nazi Germany Night of the Long Knives, that took place during their jade helm, you know? Yeah. Night of the Long Knives. That's just like Charlie and Linda's revelation. And consider again my prophet friend from Eastern Florida. He said, we have 8 million Muslims in America, and when the war breaks out in the Holy Land, and when America gets involved, 8 million Muslims will burn America to the ground. So while people are distracted with other things, that's when they come out and they do their dirty work, you know. Could be the earthquakes, could be, you know, whatever, you know. And back on November of 2016, they were burning both countries. Yeah, Israel and America. Of course, they didn't speak about anybody that was Muslim concerning all this, you know. Let me get back to Washington's vision here. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, the clashing of the swords, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I again heard the mysterious voice saying, Son of the Republic, look and learn. Where the voice had ceased, the dark shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long, fearful blast. There's that trump. And I believe it's kind of apparent that at this time enough repentance was given to America because of the things that they were going to that God said enough. And so the next part is called Heaven Intervenes. Instantly a light as a thousand suns shone down from above me and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. At the same moment, the angel upon whose head still shone the word Union and who bore our national flag in one hand and a sword in the other descended from heaven, attended by legions of white spirits. Oh, now the angels are coming to help the defenders. And to fight against the spirits that are using the Babylonish spirits. Kind of like the battle in Revelation 12. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who immediately taking courage again, closed up their ranks, their broken ranks, and renewed the battle. You know, we're told here that the inhabitants of America were warring with the invaders. At the time, I prayed about this and felt that the Lord told me that when the Christians fear God and start being a witness of true Christianity, the inhabitants of America will begin to listen and be given victory by the Lord. You know, God uses people in according to the knowledge that they have. There are a lot of Christians that go to the military and so on and so forth. They don't know. They've been told it's okay to fight for Babylon or fight for the devil. They've been told it's all right. It's only talking about murder in there. Well, what's murder, for goodness sake? Come on now. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Christians aren't allowed to do this, but God uses some Christians in their ignorance and some conservatives in their ignorance and the people let's say, Trump, in their lack of knowledge, to do battle. We do battle, as we saw, not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. It's our words, it's our faith, it's our repentance, too, that makes the difference. That's the important thing. Remember, when the edict went out through Esther and Mordecai, it was going out to all kinds of lands out there, among whom God's people had been dispersed, taken out of their land, dispersed. So God's people out there were praying. God's people were asking him. And God's people got an answer for such a time as this. Esther had come to the kingdom, and Mordecai had come to the kingdom. And now these people out there, conquered their enemies, killed their enemies, you know. And so these inhabitants of America, even though they war with flesh and blood, can have that conscience again through a good witness from us. They can be turned to true Christianity. Again, amidst the fearful noise of the conflict, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." And that was Washington, right? As the voice ceased, the shadowy angel from the last time dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back. Oh, there's Trump's expulsion of the radical Muslims, right? Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Then, once more, I beheld the villages, towns, and cities springing up where I had seen them before, while the bright angel, planting the azure standard he had brought in the midst of them, cried with a loud voice, "While the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the Union last." Union. Now, we've got anything but union right now. But let me tell you, the overwhelming majority of Americans are with this change. The loud and rebellious and factious people that are gaining the media's attention are in a minority. And they don't care about democracy because they're a bunch of communists. You see, they don't care that we voted all this in. They want to exercise their authority over you. And so, yes. And it's going to fail, ultimately. And taking from his bow the crown on which blazoned the word Union, he placed it upon the standard, while the people, kneeling down, said Amen. Now let me tell you something about every dream or prophecy or word or whatever. They can be changed. They can be lessened. Not the ones in the Scripture. You know, they're there. What's put in there is going to come to pass. But as we know, these can be lessened by prayer, so on and so forth. We saw the Lord short-circuit their plan to use Muslims in their own military groups to conquer America, to remove people from their property, and to take their land, and so on and so forth. We have all those dreams, revelations of what was being planned, okay? And now we're seeing a battle between, well, you would say the Trumpites and the Obamaites. We're seeing a battle between them, but the deciding factor is not either one of them. The deciding factor is us. You see, we need to fight. We are God's battle axe. With thee will I break in pieces the nations, he said. Oh, anyway, it goes on to give an interpretation here, because that's what the angel did. The scene instantly began to fade and dissolve, and I at last saw nothing but the rising, curling vapor I at first beheld. This also disappeared, and I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious visitor who, in the same voice I had heard before, said, "Son of the Republic, what you have thus seen is thus interpreted. Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful for her is the third. But the whole world united shall not prevail against her. Let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, his land, and union." In other words, unity. right? With these words, the vision vanished, and I started from my seat, and I felt that I had seen a vision wherein had been shown me the birth, the progress, and the destiny of the United States. Such, my friends, the venerable narrator concluded, were the words I heard from Washington's own lips, and America will do well to profit by them. Well, amen to that. Okay, let me give you just a portion of the Van Rensburg prophecies, very old prophecies too. Here's a portion. A civil uprising in America. It appears to be coming now, and that be happening now, and I believe ultimately there may be many deaths, so we have to be careful. The USA, Spain, Germany, Japan, and England, with some Commonwealth countries, will be the main allies in World War III. Most of Western Europe will be overrun and devastated by people from the Middle East. That happened. This will be so quick that proper defensive action will not be ready in time. Yes, and it was very subtle and very deceptive too. And even people that are part of the Babylonish entity was, incorporating this and forcing this on their own people. This is just like George Washington's vision of the Middle East and Asia, North Africa, right? Europe, invading the United States and destroying it. Amen? Praises to the Lord. And in comes ISIS to destroy the U.S. and apostate Christianity. Well, we're grateful to the Lord that He's going to shorten all this. And also, here's a portion of ancient Hildegard prophecies, which is very awesome. Then, within the Christian people, the Holy Godhead will accomplish signs and wonders as if accomplished them at the time of Moses. Yep, pretty much the same with the pillar of cloud. And as Michael the archangel did when he fought the heathen for the sake of the Christians. Yep, and Michael's going to stand up again for God's people and fight him and his angels, just like we see there in Revelation chapter 12. And of course, who's been given authority to send the angels to conquer the enemy? Well, according to Eve's dream, we have. And according to the Bible, they're sent forth to do service for them that are inheritors of salvation, right? Because of Michael's help, God's faithful children will march under his protection. They will decimate their foes and achieve victory through God's power. And as a result of this, a large number of heathens will join Christians in the true faith. And they will say, the God of the Christians is the true God, because such wondrous works have been accomplished among the Christians. Yes. Listen, the Christians have been the ones that have been saying what's going to happen here. They've been victorious as they tore down the Babylonish entity, right? And considering the waters and the overflowing of waters and lands like that we just read about in Jeremiah 51, think about this, that the Hildegard prophecies, which were very old, before America was a nation and named, before the comet, which is Planet X, before the comet comes, they say that Planet X acts more like a comet than it does a planet. And it looks like that too, by the way. Before the comet comes, many nations, the good excepted. Notice that, the good excepted. There are some nations that will escape some of this, right? Will be scoured with want and famine. The great nation in the ocean, that's America. Notice they didn't have a name for it yet. All they had, was this vision. The great nation in the ocean that is inhabited by people of different tribes and descent, that's the United States, by an earthquake, storm, and tidal waves will be devastated. Now that was way back there, folks. By an earthquake, it will be divided and in great part submerged. Have you seen the pictures? Yes. That nation will also have many misfortunes at sea and lose its colonies in the east through a tiger and a lion. What is this, losing our colonies? Notice that all of the people in the Middle East, nations that were at peace with us and were allies, have been taken down and conquered and very much replaced with radical Islam. And some have escaped because of prayer, you know, but we had allies over there, lots of them, and we don't have them now. Obama, when he went into office, the first thing he did was try to insult the Queen of England, and very insulting. I mean, he was immediately trying to separate America from her allies, and he's been doing that ever since. He has a factious spirit. So, as I say again, pray for him, right? The comet, by its tremendous pressure, will force much out of the ocean and flood many countries, causing much want and many plagues. After the great comet, the great nation will be devastated by earthquakes, storms, and great waves of water. Tidal waves, tsunamis we call them, right? Great waves of water, causing much want and plagues. The ocean will also flood many other countries, so that all coastal cities will live in fear. We know that the coastal cities are going under, and many destroyed. All sea coast cities will be fearful, and many of them will be destroyed by tidal waves. There it is, tsunamis. We have many prophecies of these. This is very old. And most living creatures will be killed, and even those who escape will die from a horrible disease. Well, this sounds like all that we've heard of the destruction from Planet X or Nibiru, right? And, of course, we need to exercise our authority. Just like we did with Obama, we bound him with chains so he couldn't do what the Lord told us he had planned to do. And so you need to do that with the people that plan to burn America, you know, because they're going to use any excuse to do this. And, of course, they're not going to have the protection of the government now as long as Cyrus is in there. Who was it that was behind the burning of America, which we did see? I think it was our fearless leader. I think here's a pretty good example. Nero Caesar. This is an excerpt from Nero Caesar and the Christian Faith by Wayne Jackson. Listen, one of the most despicable manifestations of human flesh ever to disgrace this planet was Nero Claudius Caesar. Born in A.D. 37, Nero was educated at the feet of the philosopher Seneca, whom he eventually forced to commit suicide. Hitler did a lot of that kind of stuff too. Even his old buddy, suspicion came on him, and he would just kill people, you know. Nero murdered his way to the imperial throne. That happened with Obama. That happened with Hillary. And her husband, Mr. Hillary. No, it happened with them. So listen, he murdered his way to the imperial throne, which he occupied from A.D. 54 through 68. His life was characterized by debauchery, violence. He killed his own mother. He caused his own mother to be killed. And extravagance. Oh boy, do they have the biggest parties, and they just, their vacations are just awesome. You know that? They don't, they're not ashamed. I mean, everybody points out, hey, what are you doing? You know, you're plundering. Yeah, but that didn't matter. They didn't have a conscience. In AD 64, a terrible fire broke out in Rome. It was strongly believed that Nero deliberately torched the city in order to justify building a more splendid one. Well, the report was that he had sent out all of his servants to burn the city, which is exactly what Obama did. At any rate, the conflagration raged out of control for more than a week, substantially destroying about 70% of the area. As a consequence of this tragedy and the widespread belief in Nero's complicity, the emperor became the brunt of intense criticism. The ruler seized upon a plan. Due to the fact that Roman sentiment was hostile towards Christianity, the emperor would blame the followers of Jesus for this crime. Yeah, matter of fact, I think I heard some of that, didn't you? Thus did he, and in AD 64, a fierce persecution was launched against the saints in Rome. Yep. I remember also that T.D. Hale had a revelation of this, so you need to pray against these fires. I know that they covered several states when this happened, I think four states, if I'm not mistaken. So you need to pray against them, because we see the prophecies here of something worse. And I do believe that the Lord is giving us authority with Trump to come against this. Okay, so let's do it. We came against it here, and at one time they had been wiped out in this part of, in this state. At one time they were wiped out. And then they saw what happened, and they started them again. And so we started praying again. And I'll tell you what, the Lord heard our prayers. And this is a portion of two dreams given to Pastor Hale. I certainly was shocked when I saw what I saw. In the dream, I began to see myself going across America. It was floating, suspended in the air, going across America, and I had no fear about what I was seeing. Then all of a sudden, I began to see bombs had landed everywhere. Now, whether this is true or whether they were actually exploded on the ground, we don't know. But he saw what he thought was bombs had landed, like they were from the sky, possibly. But the land was totally destroyed. As I looked, it looked like things were totally just wiped off. Grass, trees, everything. Everything was gone. Burned. There was nothing left. There was nothing on the trees. Well, the fires that they've started taken out whole areas, you know. Two cities north of us were taken out. Or at least large portions of them. There was nothing on the trees. There was just total disaster. I don't know if it was everywhere, but it was everywhere that I could see from the point that I was at. And when I saw this, I saw people standing around their homes, and somewhat this has happened, saints, somewhat this has happened. And when I saw this, I saw people standing around their homes and things that were left holding on to each other. I saw people that laid dead. Yes, and there were more people dead than they said. It always works that way. And I heard the cries of the people saying, this should never have happened. This should never have happened. It was like they just kept saying it over and over again. This should never have happened. Oh, Lord, this should never have happened. You could tell that life had changed, and there was no food, there was no water. Of course, people hauled in and had benefits and things like that to help the people that lost homes and everything, you know, food and everything. There was no water. I could see babies crying, grown-ups, men all crying, holding on to their families. They were begging God for mercy. And as I moved along, I saw people running and looking for their loved ones who were missing, and they were completely, completely out of their minds. Insanity had taken over. I could see people slinging themselves off bridges and committing suicide, so on and so forth. I didn't give you a piece of it there. But we need to pray against these things, saints. We need to. We are God's battle axe. We are like the people in Revelation 12 who love not their life unto death. You know, if you love your life, you're not going to take time to go and pray and do warfare against the enemy. You're not going to serve God in that vein. But that's what God said His people are going to do. We just read it in Jeremiah 51. So, saints, go forth and do battle. You will win. You know how you send the angels, but you also believe that what you speak will come to pass. Like speaking to a mountain and not doubting in your heart. And what you say will happen, right? And so when you go and send forth the angels, do that. And when you speak to the cursed Babylonish entity in the United States, in the government, you know, we were given authority to command the angels to go in the government and weed out these people, and they're doing it. They're doing it. So, we praise You, Father. We thank You for Your victory that You have given to us over the enemy, Father. We come against the faction, whether it's in the government, whether it's in the church, whether it's against us personally. We come against the faction. We bind the principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. We cast them down in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that You give us absolute victory and faith. And we ask that You deliver Your people, Lord, who ignorantly have been overcome with faction. They've been conquered by the dragon. Lord, have mercy upon Your people and deliver them and open their eyes. In many cases, they were deceived by spirits, and it was like the frog in the teapot. They were just taken over. And Lord, we just ask. Lord, we know that the people that deceived them had a deceiving spirit too, and they just passed it on. And so, Lord, we know that association with these people causes others to get taken out. And Lord, we just ask You to have mercy upon Your children and deliver Your children, Lord, from this. And also that Your people would rise up and be Your battle axe and be Your weapons of warfare to bring down, just like when Esther gave authority to the people of God to stand for their lives out there among the heathen that hated them and was ready to kill them because of Haman's edict that he had sent out. And but she gave them authority to stand for their lives. And Lord, we pray that Your people too will do this, that they will stand for Christianity all over America. Even this new generation that's coming in, Cyrus's people, some of them aren't Christians, but they're conservative and their thinking is much more aligned with Christians and they have favor towards Christians. And so, Lord, that's what we ask for. In the name of Jesus, that You would give us this victory. We praise You. We thank You, Lord. We know a great turnaround is coming, Father. We know You've told us You're going to smite the faction in the church and out of the church. You're going to smite it. Meaning, of course, I believe You're talking about not a physical smiting, but a taking down of the spirits that control people. Because when people die, of course, there's a separation between the spirit and the body. Of course, when we bind these spirits and we command them to cease, the bodies that they normally use to do their dirty work are unavailable. So thank You, Father, for doing this. Thank You for giving us wisdom. Thank You for showing us how. Lord, take us by the hand and make us Your disciples, Lord. Let us fight this battle for You. Let us have wisdom. Please, Lord, work in us to will and to do of Your good pleasure, Lord. We want to do what pleases You, Lord, even if we have to sacrifice some of our own pleasure, some of our own life, Lord. Let us serve You, Lord. Put that in Your people. Pour out Your Spirit upon us, Lord. We're nothing without You. Lord, if we don't have Your grace, we'll all be deceived, Lord. It's just that simple. Lord, we just ask for your mercy and your grace among your people. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you. Thank you for doing this, Lord. Thank you for the victory that you've given us. Lord, we stand upon your word and we swing the sword, Lord. We know that it's a two-edged sword. We know that one edge is for us and one is for the enemy. And we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Your power is made perfect in weakness. Like the people in Babylon, they were weak. They had no authority to fight anybody. And yet, they were the battle axe. I'm sure that the Babylonians didn't know that. I'm sure they don't know it now. They trusted in their god, who is Satan. They've trusted in the dragon, who is Satan. They've sacrificed to the dragon, who is Satan. Thank you, Father, that you have shown them that he has no power when your people have favor. And you have given favor. They were astounded, Lord, at what happened at that election. They just couldn't believe it. They cheated in every way they could, and they sacrificed to Satan in every way they could, and they knew that always brought success, but it didn't work this time. So, Lord, we thank you for this awesome, awesome victory, Lord. We ask you to give us victory every day, Father, every day. And more of this will be rooted out of the government. More and more people that are in agreement with Christianity and want to see Christianity spread instead of murder from Islam. You either convert to Islam or you're dead. As soon as they get into power, they will show you this. That's what they've done throughout history as far as conquering other lands. They went in there meek as a lamb, but when they get to power, suddenly they turned. Well, that's the demon, and they've brought many lands under, conquered many lands for Islam, and they plan to do it to America. But thank you, Father, you didn't permit it, and we just praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.